Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew. I'll be reading from the 22nd chapter, starting with verse 34. The Pew Bible is page 1202, or you're welcome to follow along with the words on the screen. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, the beautiful sun is shining and the weather is cooler, and we are reminded that seasons change and you are steadfast. As Jesus enlightens those who would challenge him, he opened up scriptures in a different way, in a way that would hit home for us today. So God, open our hearts and minds that we may hear what you would have us hear this day, that we may be challenged into walking this faithful path of discipleship as Jesus laid before us. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have finally reached the conclusion of our Wesleyan-rooted sermon series. We began this back in September, and this will be the last time that John Wesley will be joining us in worship. He will be retired back to my office where he will hang out until another day. And yet the call to live as Wesleyans will not go away. So let's put us into this time frame. So we began by thinking, what does it mean to grow deeply? What roots are we putting in? And are our roots found in the triune God? We were challenged to read scripture through the lens of Jesus' resurrection that completely shifts our perspective of what the testaments say to us and how we can imagine what Jesus was calling us to by reading scripture, not only as individuals, but as a community of faith as well. We were also to love actively, right? Like our love is put into action through our interactions with individuals and how we care and are attentive to the needs of not only those we know, but those we may not know yet, because all are beloved children of God. We also looked at what it meant to embrace widely. How expansive is the inclusiveness of God? Well, I can tell you it has no limits. That truly God is a God of love who embraces all, because all were created in the beautiful image of the triune God. And then we also think, what does it mean to serve well? If we truly recognize God to be a God of love, then we are called to move into action, whether it be in our own spiritual growth and development through acts of piety, or if it is through acts into the community, through acts of charity or acts of mercy. But our love is meant to be manifest into the world that we may bear witness to the truth of Christ, the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at today's sermon title, what does it say? You can look. What does it say? Multiplying love. So when I chose the scripture title, I wanted to wrap up our Wesleyan-rooted sermon series with the book that was written by Paul Chilcote. And he had written some of the prayers that we have offered at the conclusion of our services. And he wrote this book that came out probably within the past year as a direct response to some of the things and to another book that was articulated about why the Methodist Church had fractured. Another way of us imagining that is the term disaffiliation. How many of you are familiar with the term disaffiliation? Yeah. So most of the mainline Protestant denominations within the United States have gone through these fracturings or separations based on people's views of inclusion or non-inclusion as it relates to the LGBTQIA plus community. The Presbyterian Church has done it. The Baptist Church has done it. The Episcopal Church has done it. The Lutheran Church has done it. Disciples of Christ, you name it. And to be quite honest with you, the Methodist Church is probably the last of the mainline Protestant denominations to move through this. And it has been something that has been part of our denomination for over 50 years. Let me say that again. It has been a struggle for us as a denomination for over 50 years because of language that was introduced in 1972 into the Book of Discipline. So we've had these conversations throughout. And so disaffiliation was basically where the denomination came to a standstill, right? And they said, we need a path forward. And the path forward was to make the language in the Book of Discipline even harder, with the thought that those who find themselves more in the middle or on the progressive side would choose to leave the denomination. And they gave people an out, meaning you can leave the denomination and take your property with you because everything is held as under trust for the denomination. What this body had been working on was really part of a group, a subgroup within the context of the Methodist Church called the Wesleyan Covenant Association. And their plan was to form another denomination. And so that plan has led to the convening of the Global Methodist Church. And so with this idea of being able to lead, that was a decision that happened in 2019. And they thought there would be this mass leaving of centrist and progressives from the denomination. What happened is it actually activated people who can live in tension, the centrists and the progressives who basically took over and said, no, this is ours, we're staying. And then what happened is most of those who were affiliated with the Wesleyan Covenant Association, they left the denomination and took their property with them. And this was a season of disaffiliation, which at a time in our denomination was very difficult. I want to be quite honest with you. It was difficult because this was leading into 2016, 2019, the political environment in the nation, COVID hit, we're separated from each other, and then we have all of these churches that choose to leave the denomination. And it came with a lot of sadness, came with a lot of heartbreak. Because it made us realize that some of the churches that folks had grown up in were no longer going to be part of the United Methodist Church. And people whose churches were disaffiliating, who wanted to remain United Methodist, needed a place to land. And that's where our collective were formed within the conference. And Lighthouse congregations were those that said, we are going to affirm and open space for those who were maybe disconnected because of disaffiliation. So Paul Chilcote is addressing all of this and really looked at some of the arguments as to why the WCA was justifying the need for this, or things like, we need to take Scripture seriously. How we read the Bible matters. Friends, we do take Scripture seriously. And how we read the Bible does matter. For within it, everything necessary for our own salvation is contained within Holy Scripture. the things that we believe. And so anyway, so he's like going through case by case. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't even want to read the book that he was responding to. I wanted to read this one. Because he, at the very beginning, says that the foundation for his response is based on one thing. That God is love. If God is love, then that is what we hold everything else up against. And if God is love and you have received that love, then you respond out of that love and you share that love with other people. And so he's talking about the ways that we are actually called to multiply this love. How many of you have played the game 2-2-4-8? Okay, so basically that you can make this chain. So 2 plus 2 is 4, 4 plus 4 is 8, 8 plus 8 is 16. And the idea is to completely clear the board, right? So you're like adding on and adding on. And basically the numbers get incredibly large. And I am embarrassed to say that I am now on R. That I have gone through all of the numbers. I have gone through A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I've played it enough that I'm getting to R that I can imagine that I have not only multiplied, but I have exponentially exploded the number. Like, the number is so big I can't even wrap my head around it. Okay, so I'm the only one that does mindless things like this. It is a great distraction tool of procrastination. But the truth holds fast. 1 plus 1 is 2. And if 2 gathered with 2 more, you now have 4. And where 4 come together and they invite another 4, you have 8. And then if you have 8, I'm looking over here. We got 6 over there and we got 6 right there. That's 12. Like, could you imagine if we had 8 plus 8 is 16, 16 plus 16 is 32. If we just kept adding in that way, y'all, we would pack this house out. I would love that. I would love it more if we did that out in the world, right? That if you shared your faith and your love with someone out there, it may give them the courage to then share it with someone else, who then may share it with someone else. And you see how this idea of sharing God's love multiplies going out. So what does this have to do with disaffiliation and where we are as Wesleyan Rooted? The truth is we are in a season as a church that we have never been in before. The things that we used to do may not work anymore. The activities that we used to engage in may not be the most effective way to proclaim the good news. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes that is exhilarating and exciting, and the other hand, it is absolutely terrifying and stops me in my tracks. Because I'm like, how do we do this? And then I'm reminded that we don't do it alone. God is already doing this. And are we partnering with what God is doing? If we understand God to be a God of love, then God is love in the world, and we get to be a part of it. And not only do we get to be a part of it, we get to invite others to be a part of it. That we are in this precipice of God's time and space. New opportunities. And it's going to push us out of our comfort zones. And it's going to make us really think about what is the Holy Spirit asking of us? How are we going to be called to multiply love into the world? And that's when we can go back and think about our Wesleyan roots. We're going to dig in. We're going to read scripture together. We're going to love, and we're going to embrace everyone. And then we're going to serve and serve and serve again until God's love is so expansive, so inclusive, and so life-changing that people are going to look and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of whatever it is that you're doing because it matters. It looks like that is where I need to be. That looks like where we need to be. That looks like something our community needs. It looks like something our world needs. Friends, let us multiply love. Multiply love in our direct connections and to those that are even farther. Let us boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, who was love embodied in our human bodies, that we no longer have those barriers to our relationship with God. Who's in it with me? Who's in it? All right. Makes me think of this line. If you have a single thread, is it strong? I'm asking, single thread, is it strong? No. But if you maybe weave it or braid it with two or three other strands, does it get a little bit stronger? And then if you take those and you add another trifecta of threads and another one and you put, okay. Rub it out. Shake it off. How much stronger that becomes? That when our lives fed by God's love are intertwined together, we are strengthened and bolder and able to multiply love into the world. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.